Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Make it one day without the Lord's hand upon me. We don't even realize what it means to have and all that is entailed by having the hand of God upon your life. Amen. All that we're protected from by having the hand of God upon our life. The blessings that we sometimes don't even realize and don't even take the time to be thankful for that are as a result of having the hand of God upon our life. How many times has the devil, when he reaches to try to destroy us, just like in Job's case, he bumps up against a hedge. What is that? That's the hand of God that is on our life, that protects us from the destruction of the enemy. Can I tell every person in this place tonight, you do have an enemy of your soul. The Bible said we have an adversary, the devil, that goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home, your family, your marriage, your life, everything around you. He wants to destroy. Yes, he wants to bring it down. He wants to totally devour it. When I think of something being devoured, I think of it being dismembered. I think of an animal once it pounces on its prey and it totally consumes everything that it desires out of it. It leaves it strewn out on the ground and dismembered and devoured. And then lesser animals come along and pick the bones clean. And bones are scattered out across the landscape. That's what it means to be devoured. And that's what the devil wants to do. And I don't mean to be a doomsday preacher here tonight, but I'm just telling you, I am a realist, and there is a reality in the scripture, and that is that every one of us have an enemy, the devil, that wants to destroy and devour. He means business, and we better mean business when it comes to living for God. If we want to be protected from that, we cannot do it within our own ingenuity. We must have the hand of God upon us. Every time the hand of God was recoiled from Israel, the camp of God, the Bible tells us that pestilence would come in. Enemies would begin to wreak havoc upon them. Every time the hand of God was lifted, all kinds of things would begin to fall apart and become deteriorated because the protection and the hand of God was not there. I'm going to tell every father in this house, you better pray. Every husband in this house, every leader, priest of the home in this house, you better pray every day of your life that the hand of God is upon your home, that the protecting hand of the Lord stays upon you and your family. You need that umbrella of God's protection. You cannot have it just by going through the rituals and the routines of religion. You're not going to automatically have it just because you consider yourself to be a member of Landmark Pentecostal Church. But you're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to get earnest about it. You're going to have to come and seek God for it. You're going to have to do things that please God. You're going to have to walk before the Lord. You're going to have a relationship with God if you want His blessing upon your home and your family and your life. But it begins with you, sir. You've got to have a desire. You've got to have a passion for the things of God. And the prophet answers this question of what can we do to please God. And he said, He has shown thee, O man, what is good. What is good? He said, what doth the Lord require of thee? What is required of me? What is it that I need to do? And not what I can get by with, not just the minimums, not just something that I can pull the wool over. over other people's eyes, but what would God require of me? Because I'm not going to be saved with anything less than requirement. If it's a requirement, there's no way around it. There's no loopholes. If it's a requirement, I cannot just, it's not optional. I cannot just, it's not multiple choice here. These are requirements. Now I realize in all of our relationship with God, there is the ability, and in your relationship with God is designed a way to draw closer to the Lord and be nearer to God. And there are people that are closer to God than others, and they all may be saved, but there are some that we have to admit are closer to God. And we understand that. We understand that you can get close to God as you want to get. Amen. And I don't believe that you can plumb all the depths of God in your lifetime, no matter how dedicated you are. The more you go, the more the riches and the glory of God is going to be revealed to you. And the more expansive you'll realize that this is. And the deeper you'll find it to be. Because the Bible said, deep calleth unto deep. Amen. You can't get to the bottom of this. You can't realize or know or cram all of this into one life. That's how great God is. That's how awesome God is. That's how powerful God is. That's how wonderful God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Most of us just scratch the surface. Most of us just get a little bit. Most of us just get enough to scratch an itch. Most of us just get enough to be saved. And if that's all you want, I suppose you can live at that level, but you can go to whatever level in God that you desire to. The Bible says that by desire a man separateth himself in the book of Proverbs. It said, through desire a man separateth himself. If you want to be separated from the rest of the pack, if you want to be a John that leans on the breast of Jesus and hears his heartbeat and hears his voice and knows something about him that maybe the rest doesn't know, you're going to have to draw closer to God. And the only way you can do that is by eliminating and pushing away other things that are lesser in your life. Praise the Lord. But we're just asking God what's going to be required. And you see, God requires us, and what he requires of us begins in the heart. He said, all this outward stuff you're doing, all this outward, and you're going to know by the time I get done here tonight that I'm not by any means minimizing outward displays of holiness and that kind of thing. I'm not saying that at all. Please hear me out. But I'm talking about just the look. I'm talking about just the actions, just all of that. That is going to take more than just that. You're going to have to let it get down in your heart. You know, it seems like even by the hand of God that this world has spun so far out of control that you cannot put enough stipulations, you cannot put enough rules, you cannot put enough regulations. It's going to have to be on your heart to live for God. If you serve the Lord, it's going to be because you love him. And that love is going to be proven. I said that love is going to be proven. In many ways, it's going to be proven. You're going to have to love truth because the Bible said in the last days there are going to be heresies among you. And false doctrine is going to arise. And those that embrace that, they didn't love the truth in the first place. I was reading in 1 John today. He said those that went out from us were not of us. They never loved this. They never had a desire like you've got a desire. They never fell in love with truth. You need to pray that you fall in love with the things of God. Not just to be approved of man. Not just to get the pastor to wink and say, yeah, it looks like you're doing okay. No, you need God. You need God to be approved of what you're doing. An approval of your life so that he can bless it. He can bless it. Praise the Lord. I need his blessing. And so he goes and he talks about three things. He said, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. He said, you need to do justly. This means that you've got to have righteousness to present yourself to God. You've got to have righteousness. You need to do justly, honestly, true. Be true. You ever heard the? I know you have. You've heard that. That's a true person. That statement is true. That measurement is a true measurement. There's no falsehood in it. It's not a 16th of an inch off. It's not a centimeter off. It's not a millimeter off. It's a true measurement. And you know, in some fields, it's all right. You know, you build a home and you get down and that joker's a half inch off. You're a pretty good carpenter if you could build an entire house from foundation to the tip of the roof and it be a half inch off. I'd say that'd be pretty decent. Anybody agree with me? But if you're a machinist and you're an inch off, you're not a very good machinist. And then you take it on down to people that work in chemistry and they mix chemicals and just a little more or less can affect things drastically. Just a little more or a little less. It's amazing to me when we visit hospitals and stuff how intricate all of this is and how measurements get down, and I don't even know the terms, but they get down so precise, and everything has to be just right. I'm going to tell you, when dealing with eternal things, when dealing with your soul, it has to be right. What is required of thee? What is required of thee? He said, I'm going to tell you that this needs to be true. You need to be right. You need to be what you say you are. There needs to be no hypocrisy. No deceitfulness. The Bible says that the capacity to be deceitful is in all of our heart. It tells me that my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. You'd be surprised without the hand of God upon you and the Holy Ghost what you're capable of. Oh, don't sit back in smugness and self-righteousness and say, I don't have the ability to do that. I would never do that. And I hope that we don't ever cross that line. But I'm just telling you, when you give yourself over to the work of the enemy and through the flesh, you don't know what you could become. You don't know what you could get involved in. You don't know how steep. I don't think that prodigal for one moment thought that he would ever go to a hog pen. I don't think he ever had it in his heart or mind that he would ever end up eating slop, amen, in a hog pen. Because as an Israelite, he was not raised around pigs. He didn't have anything to do with them. They didn't eat them. They didn't raise them. They weren't around them. That was the lowest of lows. And now he's there with them, and this is where he's making his living, and he's joined himself to a far. Be careful when you say, I'll never go that far. I'll never do that. Oh, no. Amen. You know where that all starts? Where you start down that road is by living in hypocrisy. You come to church and you do one thing, but your heart's not in it. He said, there are those that your lips, what you say, it sounds real good. You got the talk down. But he said, your heart is far from me. And I don't find any pleasure in your praise. I don't find any blessing in your praise. You can talk the talk, but there's something that's not ringing true. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13. He says that if you do all of these things and you don't have the love of God in your heart, he said it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Hallelujah. Amen. There's something about it that is not ringing true. There's something about it that's just, now you ever been around that? Something about, I've been there and I've heard things and I've been even in services and said there's something that just doesn't ring true about this. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in a facade. I'm not interested in something fake. I'm not interested in something phony. I need the power of God. This church needs the power of God. We need the anointing like we've never had it, because it's the anointing that's going to destroy yokes. It's the anointing that's going to shake the foundations of hell. It's the anointing that's going to impact lives. It's the anointing that's going to make a way for people to be saved. It's the anointing that is going to make a difference. Hallelujah. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Amen. I want to talk about it here tonight. I want to dig deep here when it comes to deceit in the heart of men and women. We need to be what we say we are. We need to live the life, not within just within these doors, but we need to live the life out there so that they can see somebody that is true. Can you say amen? To do justly. To do justly. Praise the Lord. He said that's required of you. And then he said to love mercy. Not only love the mercy of God, and I am so thankful God has been merciful to me, more merciful to me, I suppose, than any human being in this building. He's been merciful to me. I consider my life, and I'm not here to give a sob story tonight, and I'm not wanting anybody's sympathy or pity, but I'm telling you, when I think about where I could have ended up, what I could have been involved in, where I could have gone, amen, as a small child not having a choice in the matter, but God had his hand in it, and God placed me where he placed me. Amen. I was brought into a home that loved the truth and walked with God was raised to live for God. I'm going to tell you, God, I see him as being very merciful to me. And if you're here tonight, you have the truth. God has been also merciful to you. But I get a little uptight with people that don't love mercy. They love judgment, but they don't love mercy. They love passing judgment, but they don't love mercy. You can't get away from what that Bible says. It said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I found that most judgmental people that are always passing judgment on others are people that are trying to camouflage, that are trying to keep someone from seeing things in their own lives by pointing their fingers at somebody else. That's right. Amen. We need to love mercy. This ought to be a house of mercy. This ought to be a place where people can find God. Hallelujah. I don't take delight in anybody walking out of this building saying, I can't live it. I'm not going to come to that church. I reject the preaching or the teaching. I don't take any. I never say, well, I thank God and Greyhound that they're gone. I'm glad that they're out of here. I never make those kinds of statements. It grieves my spirit when anybody walks out and makes a choice not to live for God. I don't ever say you look better going than you did coming. I don't ever say statements like that, because it's simply not true, because every soul is valuable to God. Every soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere. We got to love mercy, church. I said we've got to love mercy. We're here because of mercy. We need to have mercy. We need to have mercy in the way that we interact with people. Come on. Hallelujah. Don't hold somebody to a certain standard that you wouldn't hold yourself to. And by that, I'm not talking about church standards. You know that. I'm talking about a standard of whatever, living or whatever. You don't hold them to something that you wouldn't live up to. Or maybe you haven't lived up to in the past, but because of the mercy of God, you got there. And maybe they're coming along. Amen. We got to love mercy. We got to love mercy. And let me just give you another side of mercy that maybe you haven't thought of. But God sometimes uses men of God to preach directly, to preach to preach right to and put their finger right in the sore spot, if you will, and preach with anointing of the Holy Ghost and authority. Amen. And preach and teach things that you might not like. And it goes against the grain of your carnality and your flesh. But can I tell you, if you're going to be saved, that is the mercy of God, preaching to you and telling you what you need to do to get right, how you need to get it straightened. It wouldn't be the mercy of God if he just let you go on. If he didn't deal with a preacher, if he didn't give a preacher a message to preach to you. But you ought to thank God that sometimes there's rebuke. Sometimes there's reproof. Sometimes a preacher walks down your aisle. Sometimes a preacher steps on your toes. I'm anointed in the Holy Ghost tonight. I know what I feel in this house. Amen. Sometimes a preacher has to put his finger on your nose and say, you know what? That's not right. You're wrong. You need to repent. You need to get it right. And that's as much mercy as anything that we could preach about tonight. That's as much mercy as anything that God does, is that he stops us and said, I'm not going to let you go on in your sin, but I'm going to reach for you and restore you and try to help you. I'm going to save you, because ultimately if you're saved, it wouldn't matter what you had to give up. It wouldn't matter how bad you got offended. It wouldn't matter how bad you got your feelings hurt. If you were saved, it'd be worth everything. Amen, amen. And I feel it. I feel it in this church sometimes. A resentment that rises up when a preacher gets up and gets a little bit strong. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's flashbacks from Vietnam. I can't tell you what it is. But I've been here 11 years, and I've seen it over and over again. There's an old spirit in this church that rises up and says, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you how to be saved. I'm trying to tell you how to be right. And I love you enough to preach the truth to you and tell you what you're going to need to do to line up to the Word of God. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm not here with some prideful attitude to browbeat you into doing what's right. No, I'm not interested. You're a free moral agent of choice. You came here tonight because you wanted to. I'm here because God has sanctioned it that way, and I'm going to preach the word of the Lord, and we need to submit to it when God sees fit to talk to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need to get rid of that resentment. You need to get rid of that resentment, because it's going to affect you and keep you from being saved. Don't judge me by 10 other preachers in your life. Don't judge me by previous pastors in your life, whomever they may be. You don't judge me by that. You take me at face value. Amen. I've been here 11 years. I've never abused anybody. I've never kicked anybody around. I've never hurt anybody on purpose. I've just tried to follow God, and I'm still trying to follow God. I'm still trying to do what was right. I'm still trying to present a church holy and chaste before the Lord. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in you, your family, your family, your family being saved. So open up your heart. Open up the doors of your spirit. Say, preach to me. Preach to me, preacher. I got to be right. You ought to be able to recognize the anointing. Amen. I said you ought to be able to recognize the anointing. Have enough spirituality to recognize the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know you can't get anything done in the flesh. I've tried at times to get things done and talking to people through the flesh. Maybe it was because of my, it was a righteous desire, but it was still not anointed in the way that I approached it. But God, when anointing comes, amen, people have to open up their heart to that and say, here it is. I want to be right before the Lord. Amen. We got to love mercy. I said we got to love mercy. Amen. And I would rather, and I've said this many times, I'd rather err on the side of mercy than on the side of judgment anytime. I'd rather be a little slow than to be too fast to drop the gauntlet. Amen. And I've heard people say, even of late, I wonder when the other foot's going to fall. Amen. I've lived under that for a long time. I wonder when the other foot's going to fall with Brother Calhoun. I wonder when he's just going to spin off, I guess is what they mean. I don't know what they mean by that. I don't. Hey, I'm a Holy Ghost man. The best of my ability, I try to walk with God and do the will of God. Amen. This is as far as the foot falls right here. Amen. This is it. If you're waiting on the big explosion, this is it. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants to speak to people's hearts if they'll let them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, if you got it on the screen there, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're sheep. There's a tendency to go astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've been self-willed sometimes. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all like sheep have gone astray at times. But aren't you thankful for mercy? I've got to do justly, and I've got to love mercy. And then he says, and this is my final point, to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with God. We don't hear a lot of preaching about pride no more, but I'm going to tell you, it's the source of so much sin. It's the source of so much unrighteousness. It's the source of a lot of people going to be lost. It's nothing other than filthy pride. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Let me just tell you that all rebellion is birthed out of pride. All rebellion is birthed out of pride. Pride. I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. Pride is why I want to argue about it and contend about it. Pride because I refuse to be corrected. Pride because I refuse to be set right. Pride because I refuse to allow somebody to tell me that I might be wrong. Pride. What did the scripture say? And it's right. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 16:18-19, we know this scripture. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I'd rather be counted with the lowly, with the no-namers, with the people that are not lauded and don't have all the accolades and all the recognition than to be up there with those folks and be lost. Amen. Help me, God. Help me, God, to stay of a lowly spirit. Amen. When I talk about humility, I'm not talking about false humility. I'm not saying you got to look like a hobo to be humble. I'm not saying that you've got to go around in a false state of humility. You can take that, and some people that profess to be so humble, they're the ones that's fullest with pride. Amen? Praise God. But pride is the source of a whole lot of sin. A person with pride is incorrectable. You can't help them. You're wasting your breath trying to talk to them. Pride, according to 1 Timothy 3:6, leads to condemnation of the devil. The devil, it gives him a foothold in people's lives to beat them down and to condemn them. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You, in those three categories, you can list every sin in one of those columns just about. Amen. If it's not the lust of the flesh, maybe the lust of the eye. And if it's not that, the pride of life. You can put it in one of those columns. You just boil it down and that's where it ends up. Amen. I want to read Mark 7:20-23. And he said, Jesus, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. He said, that which cometh out of the man defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. You say, that's not in my heart. You let your heart get filled with pride. You let your heart stray away from God. You don't know what's in your heart. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, lewdness is what that is. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. 23, and all these evil things come from within that defile. We spend a lot of time in this church, and we should talk about all the stuff that comes from without. What about the stuff that's inside that nobody sees? What about the stuff that's internal working on you, that bitterness working on you, that rebellious spirit that works on you, that pride that works on you, that haughtiness that is on the inside of you that nobody sees? If we could open you up spiritually, if we could do a heart examination spiritually, what kind of blackness is there? What kind of filth and corruption is there? What is it that could defile your walk with God? Pride is the source of all unholiness. It's always the culprit. Amen. And I want to say this, and I have prayed about it, and I say it in all humility, and I hope that you'll receive it. But a sensual look. What do you mean? I'm talking about a look that is flirtatious, a look that is a come hither kind of look. I'm talking about a sensual look. You can squirm tonight. You're just going to have to squirm because I'm coming down about this sensual look. Amen. God's not pleased with it. I was walking in this sanctuary today praying right here, up and down this front. And God said, you better do something about this sensual look that is trying to come in here in this church. It's trying to defile some things. It's trying to defile some good young people. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not a short skirt wearing church. Amen. We're not a short skirt wearing church. You need to get your knees covered, ladies. I said, you need to get your knees covered. Amen. The Bible talks about your thighs being shown and how unholy and ungodly that is. And a skirt that's to the knee is not enough. Amen. A skirt needs to be below the knee. I said it needs to be below the knee. Praise God. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about it. That's that pride working on you. Why do you want to show that stuff off? Why do you want to put things out there like that? Why would you want to be thought of in that way? Why do you want to possess that kind of reputation and attitude? I tell you, it's trying to identify with the world. It's trying to be included with the world. It's living with one step, with one foot rather in the world and one foot in the church and trying to identify with both, and it's unholy and God's not happy with it and God's going to judge it. I said God's going to judge it. If you don't listen to this preacher, amen, I believe that God's going to judge that because God's not pleased with it in this church. Amen. We're trying to please God. We're trying to do what is required of us. We're trying to do what God wants us to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you, hair that's been cut and tampered with and all of that, that's not pleasing to God. You need to get gray-headed with the rest of us. Amen. I said, you just need to grow old with the rest of us. Quit trying to cover that up. Amen. I hear all these amens from gray-headed folks. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm just telling you, we need to walk with God. Don't let the devil tell you that you're ugly. Don't let the devil try to demean you and tell you, well, I'm getting to looking old. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a proud, proud thing. That's a pride issue. Hallelujah. We're trying to please God. We're not trying to get other men's attention and other ladies' attention. We're trying to please God. Hallelujah. How many wants to please God? How many wants His favor, His blessing? We're not trying to be trendsetters around here. Amen. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19. Do you have that? 6, 16 and 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. I think this will shock you. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Oh, I could spend all night right there, but I won't. Amen. Feet that are swift running to mischief. Amen. Some of you, you're going to die with your head up a muffler of an ambulance, because when there's drama, you're the first one on the scene. Hallelujah. That's the truth. It's amazing to me. Some of you know more about what goes on in this church than I do, and I'm the pastor here. Amen. You know everything. I don't know where you get your info, Facebook, Twitter, something. I don't know. Something that I'm not on, evidently. Praise God, because you know everything that's going on. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of your own heart, your own life. Praise the Lord. And I'm just going to say something else that I have felt at times in this church. There's too much whispering that goes on. And you look whispering. Get you a Strong's Concordance. Go home and look up whispering. It'll shock you. God's not pleased with that. I said, God's not pleased. You know how I know? Because I'll walk up and all of a sudden it ceases. Somebody, the right person walks by all of a sudden. You know how else I know is when I walk by your kids, they can't look me in the eye. You know why? Because they got a guilty conscience, because you've been talking. You've been talking things you shouldn't be talking. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, you're surmising that. I'm not surmising that. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I know people well enough, and I know what I feel well enough to know that that's going on. It needs to stop. Praise the Lord. It's a hindrance to revival. And I don't want blood on my hands. I don't want one soul to be laid to my charge. I want to be right with God. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. Feet that be swift running to mischief. And a false witness that speaketh lies. And he, listen here, soweth discord among the brethren. God hates it. He hates it. I don't want God to hate what I'm doing. I want God to be pleased with what I'm doing. You say, preacher, what right do you have preaching like you preached tonight? I tell you, I got Bible. Ezekiel 44. And they shall teach my people, talking about the priest, the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. It's my responsibility in this church to teach and preach in such a way that you would be able to discern, this is not right. This is not of God. Because again, we've got to teach, and we've got to be to a position and a place in God and be sensitive enough to the Lord, because I can't label everything. I can't call everything's name. I don't have enough time. You don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy to stay up with it all. Amen. And study it all and research it all. It's out there. And if you got a heart to do evil, it's there. Praise the Lord.